My parents are from a beautiful, exotic little country called India. Maybe you've heard of it. They came into this country back in the late 50s. And in the early 70s, they moved to a small place called Riverdale, Maryland, in the heart of PG County. And we were the only Indian family in PG County at the time. It must have been. In that small little house in Riverdale, in that tiny little kitchen, was where, when my folks weren't working, where we spent most of our time. And I remember my fondest memories were grabbing a chair from the dining room and dragging it into the kitchen, up to the kitchen counter, and standing up there and just watching the magic. You know, my parents were always throwing spices around. There was always curries being made. There was always the little fried Indian snacks, little sweets. Indian food just consists of so many things. And there was always oil, like gurgling and spitting and cracking. And I remember standing up on that chair and being able to roll out chapatis and fried puri breads and do all that kind of stuff. And on Saturdays, the whole family, which consisted of my parents and my brother and I, would pile into my dad's Volkswagen Bug, and we'd go to the Jumbo Food Mart out on University Boulevard. And there, the adventure really began, because I got to ask questions about, ask questions about all the produce and the meats, and would shake the coconuts to see how much water was inside and find out the subtle nuances of like bananas and plantains and all that kind of stuff. And my parents were always very accommodating and just allowing me to figure out what was going on with stuff. And every once in a while, about every 4 to 6 weeks, we would end up at one of the handful of Indian spice stores that my parents would go to. And so we were headed to the Indian spice store, and in the 70s, and maybe true today, but all the Indian spice stores had a few things in common. And one of those things was that there was always a little radio hidden somewhere behind the counter that was piping out like either some old Bollywood hits or like some old Carnatic, like some traditional music. One of the other things was there was always a portion of the counter that was reserved for video rentals, and at the time it was Betamax. And there was a guy behind the counter, sometimes with a turban, sometimes not, haggling over the price of these cheap knockoff, like, you know, Bollywood movies. And 50 cents or a dollar was the going price at the time. And the last similarity between Indian spice stores was all the Indian grocers would get their spices in bulk. So they would get them in big, huge sacks or barrels, and then they would divvy them out into smaller bags, usually 1 pound, 2 pound bags, or even 5 pound bags, and they would seal them with a commercial sealer. So we wander up to this Indian spice store, and this one I remember because it was one of the bigger ones, which is not saying much, really, because they were all tiny. And we walk in, and it was always the same scene. You would have just one huge room with a few aisles, and on both sides were shelves, and they were just packed with these home-sealed bags of spices and all kinds of crazy stuff. So we were walking into this Indian spice store. My dad grabbed me by the shoulder at the door and said his favorite things to me, which is, "Don't touch anything." And of course, I said, okay, right. So like I'm rolling around, you know, and I roll out. And I go, and I'm going down the aisles. And the first thing I do, and I'm on the perpetual search for the bulk bags of rock candy. So I'm like, that's my thing. And I'm never in a hurry to get there. I know in a roundabout way I'll get there. So the first thing I do is I roll in and I look for the wall of rice, because there's always 40, 50-pound bags of rice, and they're always stacked against the wall. So I go up there, and I start punching on the bags of rice. And then I'm running around the store, and I'm poking at bags of mung bean and some dal and shaking things around. And there's coconuts there, too, so I'm shaking those. And, doing my thing. And so on this particular day, I come around the last aisle, terrorize the last aisle, and on the floor is a stack of these grocer bags, which is about 2 pound bags, of a finely ground dark red powder. So I roll up to the bag, and I grab the bag on top, have no idea why. And it's about 2 pound bag, about this big. And I bend the bag in half, you know. And the bag is sort of, it just sort of kind of puffs up a little bit. And I'm like, so then I give it a nice little squeeze, you know. And then it kind of like, it like puffs up a little more. It's like, and I'm like, so I decide, I'm like, why haven't I discovered this before, I'm thinking. And then so I decide to sit down, and I look around behind me, and about probably between some bags of grain, there's a little spot for my bottom to fit. I'm about 6 years old at the time. And so I kind of like get in there. And the shelf above me, I'm in a shelf, and the shelf above me is not quite tall enough for my head to fit, so I'm kind of crouched over, and then I get right back to work. And so I grab the bag. I got the bag in my hand, and I squeeze the bag, and this thing really just comes to life at this point. So I'm like, so I don't know why, and I start sifting the red powder into the middle of the bag, and I got myself a little handle here. So I'm like, and then I really crunch down on the bag this time, and this thing is like, boom, you know, and there's air and there's powder and there's life in the bag. And so I decide, and I almost knew what was going to happen next. I can't say I knew what was going to happen next, but I almost knew what was going to happen next. I really gave myself a good sift on the bag, and I grab both sides, and I hanker down, and boom! The next thing that happened was best described by my brother, who was one aisle away. And he said he heard the boom! And he looked up and turned his head, and about 6-7 feet in the air was a mushroom cloud of red mist, like smoke. And he said, followed by 3 seconds of silence, and then an extremely loud scream. And everyone came running. Apparently, I don't remember any of this. At this point, I honestly believe I had what was my first out-of-body experience, because my mind was hovering at the top of the store, actually in the back room of the store, of which I've never been that I can perfectly describe. And there was a strange Indian man I've never met before holding me by my ankles upside down over an industrial mop sink with the water running full blast, like just down. And I was gurgling, and I was spitting, and I was gasping for air and trying to scream. And my father was holding the back of my head and running his fingers through my eyes and my nose and my mouth, trying to get the chili pepper out of my, off of my head and my hair. And I wasn't wearing a shirt. It was just like it was a mess. As I was leaving the store, We piled back into the bug, and I remember sitting in the back seat, and I was creating a little puddle because my shorts were soaked, my hair was wet, my eyes were running, and my nose was running, and my face was swollen, and everything was stinging. The only comfort I had was the largest piece, maybe the Maltese Falcon, of pieces of rock candy that the Indian grocer's wife had given me. And it was the only thing I could wrap my tongue around to stop the pain. And my brother leans over to me, and he's like, "Idiot," you know. I remember thinking, I should probably start listening to my dad. Thank you.